Welcome in, time for KER Politics, thought-provoking views from leaders in the field. The views of our guests do not necessarily represent the views of either Corey or Big Al.
Now, time for KER Politics.
Welcome in, time for Daily Editorial, and also a reminder for all of you folks who listen to this particular podcast here in the Bellingham-Blaine area. Remember, there is a Republican committee meeting tomorrow night. That's Thursday, tomorrow night, at the usual place. Jim and I will be announcing that again also tomorrow. However, today we're going to talk a little bit about the justice system. Let's talk about the situation with Brett Kavanaugh, the arrest in front of his house, and let's also talk about the Peter Navarro situation. And let me bring up one thing, and that is the Washington State report has stated that many times when their officers are attempting to pull over people here in the area, the people simply aren't pulling over anymore. They're just totally disregarding what's going on. Jimmy, give a comment on that, and then let's talk about Navarro, the situation with Navarro, and let's talk about the situation with Judge Kavanaugh.
Yeah, well, let's start off with the Supreme Court justice having someone out in front of his house with a gun who was threatening to kill the justice
right.
Because of the leaked draft Roe v. Wade decision.
Right.
This is a continuation of inspired violence that the left has created, actually for decades, but since the 60s. The interesting thing is they're on the opposite side of the agenda now. At the time in the 60s, the left, progressive socialist ideologues were pushing free speech, pushing, you know, down with the government, down with the man. And here's the opposite. We've got progressive ideologues pushing support the government because it's their particular political agenda that they're supporting with the Biden regime. And of course, they're silencing speech
right.
while inciting violence, while asking to cut law enforcement budgets, while undermining respect for authority and rule of law. And this has been continuation for many decades, but it was really highlighted in the George Floyd riots and how the left, the progressives, all the way to the top of the Democratic Party mm-hmm. have made George Floyd this, you know, convicted felon that had a tremendous, you know, that died of fentanyl heart attack in custody, that they've turned him into some sort of martyr against police brutality. And of course, even though they went through the justice system, the law enforcement officers involved were arrested and have been tried. A number of them have been convicted. And the individual that was actually holding him down was, you know, has been sentenced to, you know, decades in prison. In spite of that, they are continuing to inspire violence and undermining rule of law and authority to achieve their political ends. And it is absolutely damaging the infrastructure and the individuals in this nation and making everybody's lives more dangerous and more risky.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, you know, the obvious thing that, in my opinion, really is scary is when you got the Washington State Patrol attempting to pull over drivers and they're just kind of, you know, waving off the Washington State Patrol in a vulgar way because they know that probably the State Patrol will not apprehend them. I think that to me is very frightening. It's just it's kind of a continuation of a trend, total disrespect for law enforcement, and that was very definitely started by the progressives. There's no question about that, Jim.
Yeah, no, this I did hear the story from Seattle where the guy was driving down the road, the law enforcement guy was trying to pull him over. The individual being pulled over called 911 and said, I'm not going to pull over this guy because of the House bill or whichever bill went through the Senate, the House and signed by the governor, the House
right.
and Senate and signed by the governor that, you know, basically undermined law enforcement authority. I can't remember the specifics of the bill, but yeah. And then he drove away.
Yeah.
And this is happening on a routine basis. What is more disturbing to me, and I'm watching it almost daily, in large gatherings and large crowds in many places, in many actually Democratic cities, Democrat-run cities around the country, large gatherings of people are getting drunk, getting violent. They're out on the street. Law enforcement comes to try to establish. There's a video in Memphis, Tennessee from a couple of days ago with a woman strips naked in the street and is peeing in the street. As law enforcement come and with real, literally hundreds of people around, law enforcement comes to, you know, hey, public indecency, something you really don't want to see. You don't want your children to see. You don't want it to happen around in your public, you know, in the debauchery in front of you. Law enforcement comes and basically a riot ensues. People start pushing the cops. They're calling them all kinds of names. They're calling all types of things. And again, this is the result of the Floyd effect, and the Democrats are the ones that are using this. Simultaneously, they are screaming for gun control. And that is completely inconsistent. As people lose the ability to defend themselves, they lose the ability to call police and law enforcement because they don't have enough resources to come and help. They lose their basic safety and security. The Democrats are also trying to take away your ability to defend yourself. How wonderful is that?
Not very wonderful, to say the least. Not very wonderful at all. Jimmy, let's talk about the coverage that's going to be happening, the Sussman trial.
Trial's over. And the Sussman trial, you know, and he was exonerated from the jury in spite of overwhelming evidence that he had lied to the FBI. Information came out that he actually, as a DNC senior lawyer, had not only a workstation in his Perkins Coie office in Washington, D.C. that connected directly to the FBI, but also had an access card to the FBI. Now, how wonderful is that, that a senior political party lawyer that is pushing a narrative that absolutely undermines a sitting president and regime for years, creates total pandemonium and catastrophe, is supported directly by the FBI at the highest levels of the director, Jim Comey, Andrew McCabe, the deputy director, and of course, numerous people inside. Jim Baker, he was close friends with, the FBI's senior lawyer.
Right.
Absolutely disgusting that he's got four. And this is consistent right now with Merrick Garland's Department of Justice using law enforcement, using the FBI to intimidate political opposition. And that is reflected not only with what happened with Sussman, not only what happened with Roger Stone when he was arrested publicly with a CNN crew there with a SWAT team for a basically a white collar minor potential infraction of making a misstatement to the FBI, the same thing that Sussman was exonerated over, but Peter Navarro arrested publicly, filmed, put in handcuffs over an issue that does not exist. Peter Navarro was on the president's staff, President Trump's staff, commerce advisor, an economic advisor. Executive privilege has been held up for decades by the Supreme Court, by every court in this land. And this guy, Merrick Garland, the attorney general, and the DOJ and the FBI publicly arrest him because he was not going to testify because of executive privilege over the January 6th commission that is made up a bunch of political hacks, including Republican political hacks, that are attempting to undermine attempting to stop Trump from being able to run again and undermine credibility in any aspect of a political opposition in this nation.
And the fact that he was found not guilty, to me, is absolutely staggering. And it just shows you the very definite nature of the strength of the direction that we're going in right now, Jim.
Yeah, and, it was somewhat expected in a D.C. And most, most people that kind of watch this stuff realize that a D.C. court would probably let him off. People were hoping that, in fact, justice would prevail. But here's what happened. The judge in the case allowed jurors that had stated publicly, that stated in their, in the jury interrogation before they went on, were actually placed on the jury, that they were Clinton supporters, that they hated Trump. and of course, Sussman's daughter was on the same, a lacrosse team for a sports team with one of the jurors' daughters. So Sussman's child and this other juror's daughter were on the same team. Now, how could that be a legitimate issue that you could go forward and place that person on the jury without questioning their potential, you know, integrity on this? You just like just go ahead and, you know, just send them off and pick someone else. But no, the judge allowed that to happen. He silenced information on the DNC's emails directly to Sussman. He silenced the Clinton administration's emails to Sussman that would show, that would indicate even a broader conspiracy here. But there's a lot of information that came out of that trial that really shows the corruption, and it's factual. It's absolutely not speculative. There is documented information that shows the corruption with the DNC, yep, the Clinton campaign, the FBI, the DOJ, and of course this lawyer that worked in concert in a conspiracy to frame a political opponent and then a sitting president of the United States, and no one's doing anything about it.
Well, the press is doing something about it, Jimmy. I'm surprised you let that go. The press is very definitely doing something about it. They are very definitely supporting the wrong people. They're supporting the, I would have to say, nefarious, which is probably not too strong a word, the nefarious direction of the progressives. Only thing we can do about it at this point in time is we've got to tell the story as often as we can. We have to get as many people involved with knowledge as we possibly can, and we have to become very active, at least in our own relative areas, in terms of the party, so we can be part of the organization in the hope that we are organized in the election coming in November well enough that we can go ahead and win it, for lack of better terms. Any comments on what I just said, Jimmy?
Well, I think those are important steps, and I think there's some other things that people need to do. They yep. need to stop being intimidated by progressive ideologies and these right. people that scream and yell. They just need to stop it. They need to say, forget it. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you are telling me, because you don't care what I say, so it's irrelevant. Let's get back to logic, fact, and actual decision-making that improves the lives of our people and follows the Constitution of the United States. Just tell them, stop, I'm not going to listen to it. And right. quit being afraid of it. That's right. important.
Nothing to be afraid of. No, absolutely nothing to be afraid of. Being intimidated is a personality issue. It's pretty hard to intimidate me, but you know the kind of person that I am. But some people are easily intimidated. No question about it. Listen, I hope to see as many of you as possible at the Republican Committee meeting, the regularly scheduled second Thursday of every month meeting tomorrow night at their normal place. See you
it's
there.
It's not the normal place, actually, Al. I just want to give everybody, it's at the VFW on Hannigan Road. That's kind of a new venue for them.
A new venue. Well, being the new kid on the block, I appreciate you bringing that in. Jim, hope to see you there, you guys. Jimmy, thank you so much.
You bet.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You are listening to KER Politics.